brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're here at Jesus, and he's in Jerusalem. And our text in our gospel, the second gospel part, is actually after he came into Jerusalem. And of course, we're familiar with trending today. Oh, someone's trending, right? In other words, they're getting very popular. In German, that'd be beliebt. Very, very popular. So the word had spread about Jesus. You see, he had healed Lazarus, and there was a lot of people following Jesus around because of that. But he'd done other things. He healed other people, not only healed Lazarus, but by the way, he raised him from the dead. And so they come into Jerusalem. Now look, it says some Greeks. So people came from far and wide, obviously proselytes that were coming in, and they wanted to talk to Jesus. Sir, we want to speak to Jesus. And wouldn't we too? What would you do if you had a sick child and you found out there was someone out there who had a miracle cure? What would you do? You know, there was one boy once, true story, and he had gotten chiggers, but he got it so bad they couldn't heal it. And so they said, hey, we're going to have to cut off both your legs. Yeah, that's pretty bad. So he goes, I'm not, and it, by the way, it was extremely painful for him to walk. He goes, I'm not doing that. So he got on this bike, and he rode across country on his bike, just took off, didn't tell his parents, they didn't know where he was. He goes, I'm going to go to the Mayo Clinic. Why would he go to the Mayo Clinic? If anybody could heal me, it's the Mayo Clinic. By the way, God works in mysterious ways. They got there, they looked at him and said, well, the best thing for you is to turn around, ride your bike all the way back. The exercise and getting all that blood flowing in those legs was healing. You're almost healed by the time he got to the Mayo Clinic. So what would we do? We would do anything, but also for ourselves, wouldn't we? We want to be healed because we tend to think temporally all the time. Look at the woman at the well. Jesus comes to her and says, hey, if you would have asked for it, I would have given you living water. Wow, great, she says. Then I won't have to keep coming here to this well and drawing water because I don't ever want to thirst again. Jesus is talking about deep spiritual issues, and she's thinking, what's going to make my life easier? You see, there's a lot of reasons. We're going to go over a few of them. Why didn't people see Jesus as the Messiah, as the suffering servant? Well, I think first of all is ideology. Because we get certain ideology and then we try to fit the world to fill it in. Now, back in those days, the ideology was that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to set up a kingdom, a paradise on earth. Every disease will be healed. We'll throw out the Romans. We're going to make Israel great again. We're going to be the best nation in the world. No one can stand against us because we'll have God who's the king. That's what they wanted to focus on. And of course, every time as Jesus is talking and preaching, even to his disciples, that ideology keeps coming in. And they keep trying to take Jesus' words and change them so it fits their ideology, their preconceived notions. Because we're talking about why could someone go from hail Hosanna to the King of Israel, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, to crucify him. He didn't fit their ideology. Do we do that? Look what's going on in politics today. I don't care which side you're on. If we get very upset when somebody doesn't fit our ideology, we elect them to do something, they don't quite do it the way we think they should. Or the other side, we get angry and upset with them because they don't fit into our preconceived notions of what they should be doing. And people then, they look at God because God doesn't fit into their ideology. They get mad, they get angry, they get disappointed. Our loved one dies. We're mad at God. Why? God didn't do what I think he should have done. Didn't fit our ideology. God, are you really here to give me a good life? What's going on here? We get disappointed with God. Our life doesn't go as well as it should. So we try, we work, we struggle, and we find out, am I really any better off? Sometimes we are, sometimes we're not. Maybe God didn't bless me the way he should have. Because there's always more things we're looking for. And yes, we get angry with God. We get angry with God. Tell him that. He's a big person. You know what? God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I don't care if you're mad at God. God will still love you. He'll still be with you. He'll stay with you. So we have ideology that separates us from God. And you know what that leads to? Expectations. Quite often when I'm doing pre-marriage counseling, I talk to people, get rid of your expectations. Do you know, they did a poll, and they asked people, what do you expect from your spouse? They had a list like this. All the things they expect of their spouse. You know what? My guess is that they expected that person, their spouse, to work very hard in filling their expectations. How much did they work to fill their spouse's expectations? You know, it's funny because you go back 50, 60 years and the expectations were 2 to 3 items long. Get rid of the expectations because you know what? Love doesn't depend on those things. But we have all these expectations then because of our ideology of what God's going to do for us, with us, to us. And those expectations mislead us. And they're generally self-centered. You know, well, God, if I become a Christian, if I come to church, then my kids won't get saved. God, if I give my tithe as you command me to, then guess, oh, you know what? Then I'll be richer. Now, God does promise to bless us, but you've got to let him bless you the way he wants to. Right? You cannot dictate to God. God has to be God. Get rid of those expectations. Accept the grace that he has given to you. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of your expectations, not of your choices, not of your, quote, faith. That faith is a gift of God. So let God work in you. Get rid of your expectations and say, God, show me where you want me to go. Lead me, God. You know what? You do that, you're going to find out that life is a whole lot happier anyway. But we get mad at God. God, why isn't my life happier? I don't feel happier because I'm a Christian. By the way, studies show that it is true. However, we always want our to get rid of the expectations. Let God be God. And as we go from ideology to expectations of what we expect from God, and we need to get rid of those, to we move to culture. Because where do our ideology and our expectations come from? Quite often from culture. Given what culture tells us and what God tells us, what will most people choose? What culture tells us. Do they go and they open the Bible and they're reading the Bible? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go along with this because the Bible says it's not that way. No, we go and say, well, you know, other people are doing it. Isn't that true? And if we think, you and I, either one of us, think that we're not privy to or have a tendency to follow our culture, you're wrong. Look at the different classes. Isn't it interesting how different classes of students have different expectations, how different generations have different viewpoints, and they all seem to gather together, right? Yes, we're influenced by our culture, but the Bible transcends culture. I don't care what culture you're in. You live in the Soviet Union or Saudi Arabia or America or Canada or Mexico. You know what? You read the Bible will have things to say about all those cultures and what's wrong with those cultures. You might praise in other areas too. But yeah. He said, be, live in the world, but do not be of. So yeah, so why did people go from Hosanna, King of Israel, to crucify him? Now we know. All those things are going on. And they should have known better. Why? Because the next thing we knew is we got to be involved in Scripture. Look, they knew the Scripture, especially the leaders. They knew the servant of the Lord was going to die. They knew Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. Right? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22. They knew this. But they did what too many of us do. We're reading through the Bible. Oh, that's kind of uncomfortable. Bleep. We'll just jump over that passage. Let's go to the glory passage. That's what they wanted. Don't talk to me about the negative, quote, negative passage. I want to jump to the glory passages. You know, where God is king. Pastor, I don't want to do the confession. I don't want to feel bad. Let's forget the confession and let's jump to the new glory of our life in Christ. And that's where we are, and that's where they were. And yes, we do that because we like glory better than the agony of defeat. And sometimes things aren't what they seem. Jesus is talking. Remember, the Greeks are there. And as he's talking, by the way, you notice it turned from just a few Greeks to finally a multitude? You notice that? So people are coming to Jesus. They want to hear him speak. And he's not really having much of it. He's going out and saying, look, the Son of Man must be glorified. And he says, I must be lifted up. And the multitudes don't want to hear it. No, they said. We heard from the Bible. We know from the Torah, the law. But it's Torah means all the word of God, actually, in the Old Testament. But we know from that that Messiah will live forever. Yes, he does, because he's God. Somehow they miss that point. But he has to suffer and die. And you know what? You're going to have to join Jesus in suffering. You are going to have to be glorified with him as well. God wants that body to die so that you may rise into a newness of life. So when you die, it is not a death until death. It's a death until life. And so you will be glorified with God in heaven. This is God's promise to you. He says that where I am, you will be. So when we look at the death of Christ, it is a victory statement. It is finished. All the redemption that God had to do for you. That's what Jesus did. And you know what's interesting? Because now we know God the Father spoke from heaven, didn't he, on the baptism of Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then we see, again, God talks talks out loud during the transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Listen to me. And now he says, yes, I will glorify him. I will live. In other words, it's the will of God the Father. God loves you so much that he was willing to lift up his Son. Jesus, why was he lifted up? Why is it a glory? Because he sees the effect of that lifting up. Your sins are forgiven. You get to be with you in everlasting. God loves you so much, he was willing to demonstrate that in his Son. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. You know what? Just as the song says, just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Jesus calls us and we come to him. He has enabled us to have an everlasting life. Good Friday is called Good Friday, not because it's not. Yes, our Lord suffered. Yes, we see the cruelty of the world. Yes, he died a horrible death. He went to battle. He came, he saw, he conquered death and hell. He came, he saw, he is alive and well. He was, he is, and only he could live. He died.